Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment at the desk.
Will the clerk will distribute the amendment without objection. The reading of the amendment will be dispensed with, and the gentleman is recognized to discuss his amendment.
Offer a very simple amendment that reclaims Congress's constitutional role. The amendment says that there can be no funds used to go to war with Iran unless the president first comes to the United States Congress to seek authorization to do so, or if there is a threat of attack on the United States consistent with the president's use of his powers under the War Powers Act. This amendment should be non-controversial. It's actually not even making a determination about a war on Iran. What it's actually standing up for is the constitutional privilege of this body to decide on matters of war and peace. That's Article 1 of the Constitution.
First of all, props to Ro Khanna for bringing this forward. This is extremely necessary, and the Congress needs to take their power back.
Who seeks recognition? A whole lot of people. We'll go with seniority and go with Mr. Conaway.
This dude groans like he's going through a colonoscopy here before he even gets on a microphone. And then he plays around with little language, little tinker toy language.
Is that an attack by Iran, Iran's proxies, someone unrelated to Iran altogether? What triggers the attack? I'm opposed to the amendment in general, but it seems to me that the implication that Iran is the attacker should have been better clarified in the amendment itself to lay that out. But I oppose the gentleman's amendment.
Does it say this? Does it say that? Oh, it's poorly written. Oh, I don't believe that this may be appropriate here in this here chamber. The fact that Iran is the attacker needs to be better clarified. They're just playing around with fucking language to kick this can on down the damn road.
And the War Powers Resolution actually does not require Congress to approve before military action is taken. The War Powers Resolution, I believe, starts a 60-day clock that the president, if he feels he has to act, he can act. But he's got 60 days then to come to Congress if hostilities continue past 60 days.
This video undoubtedly will show you that people are coming to Congress in the dark and pushing the idea that war with Iran is legal.
So this isn't even saying that you can't do anything before you come to Congress. You are free. That's the whole purpose of the War Powers Resolution.
A question to clarify. First of all, I sort of like the spirit behind this, the attempt to insert Congress into the question of war powers.
To insert Congress into the question of war powers? What? It's your job to declare war. Holy Moses.
Is there a precedent, and maybe this is a question for the staff, for any sort of proactive anti-AUMF like this that you could point to?
How is there a precedent for something that's never been done before? America didn't have an AUMF until they had one after 9/11. And it's never came off the books. So how is there precedent for anti-AUMF legislation when AUMF legislation didn't even exist until it existed?
Where we've said proactively that we are not authorized to go to war with this country.
I don't know. I wish there were. It would have saved us a lot of blunders in the last 15 years.
Will the gentleman yield? Yeah. I'll yield.
Ro Khanna's going hard here. Props to you, Mr. Khanna. You are one of the few that are consistently talking some sense to the MIC. Did I mean microphone, or did I mean military-industrial complex? Or did I mean both?
No, there is no precedent. Because I don't think there's been a time in American history when Congress has so abrogated its authority under the Constitution to make these decisions. And where we've had repeated conflicts under an authorization that is totally out of date, which is exactly the spirit of this amendment that you refer to.
I don't think there's been a time in American history when Congress has so abrogated its authority under the Constitution to make these decisions. And where
yes.
We've had repeated conflicts under an authorization that is totally out of date.
They need to take the authority back, because the authority lies with them. So do your jobs.
So, no, there's no precedent for this, but that's because I believe we're in an unprecedented situation. I yield back.
I thank you for that. By making this a new standard, which actually inverts the war power standard, by doing a proactive anti-AUMF, you almost implicitly say in every country around the world where we don't have such a proactive anti-AUMF, the administration or any administration has latitude to do many different things. You almost make it the new standard where Congress has to proactively act in this manner to prevent the executive branch from acting. Because indeed it has been the position of every single administration since 1979, Republican and Democrat, since Carter on to the present day, that we are in a national emergency situation with respect to Iran. It's been recertified and renewed in every single administration.
So isn't that a problem that you can now highlight and seek to change? The fact that we've been in a national emergency situation since the 70s? Why do we allow that?
Actually, in Section 3, with the criteria you've created, in attempting to restrain the executive branch, you've actually given them all the justification they need to make war with Iran, because indeed they are continuing the tradition of saying we are in a national emergency situation, with respect to Iran.
There are no new authorities granted in this resolution, so it reiterates authorities under the War Powers Act. Your idea that this gives the executive branch new authorities or more authorities is just not true at all.
The War Powers Act is also problematic and also overreaches and also is incredibly broad and incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for here? Incredibly generous to the warmongers.
This administration and previous administrations have used the 2001 AUMF to justify wars that have nothing to do with the September 11th attacks over the last two decades.
That is correct. This administration, the Trump administration, and previous, Barack Obama and George Bush. And yes, that includes Barack Obama. Liberals. Even though you didn't care.
Members of this administration, including some of whom were the same people who pushed us into a war with Iraq, have been warmongering to get us into Iran.
True.
And that's been patently clear from not only the press reports, but the briefings that we've had in Congress.
I am in 100% agreement with this amendment. It was truly scary and deja vu to see what the mistakes and lies that led us up to the first Iraq war. And like many of you, I also fought in that war.
So Moulton is a former soldier. Gallego is a former soldier. He's also for the amendment. And you have another soldier, Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard, is in the back of the room. So you have three soldiers. You got the people that actually sent over to fight. You got three of them in the room right now, and they're all three for this amendment and against the sweeping draconian powers that the authorization of use for military force has given the government year after year after year.
And then to see this administration talk in the manner they did to us in our briefings.
There it is again, another mention of briefings. What briefings? What briefings? We're about to find out.
And their justification, without going into details, I think terrified us so much to the point that we needed to act in whatever manner we can. And this is, I think, one of the most quickest manners we can to restrain the any crazy attempts, again, to lead us to an unjust and irresponsible war like the last administration did.
The CENTCOM commander requested forces to go to the Arabian Gulf based on credible intel that was multi-sourced, that many of us were briefed on.
Credible intel that was multi-sourced. A nice little deep state sentence. Sounds like the exact type of shit that they spit out for the Iraq war.
And the intelligence community in those briefings stated very clearly that a body of evidence shows the Iranians back down when faced with conventional force. They are aggressive when faced with weakness.
Aggressive when faced with weakness. That means if you want peace, you're weak. That's what this guy's saying. If you actually don't want to kill innocent civilians, you're weak. If you actually want to look to peace and look to dialogue, look to getting through this without military adventurism, you're a weak bitch. That's what he's saying. That's what this fucking asshole is saying.
We have a body of Iranian officers and leaders who learned from the lessons of the attacking Americans in Beirut. We changed our policy and withdrew under the Reagan administration. We have a body of officers that learned by killing Americans in Iraq. We reacted against their proxies and not against Iran themselves. My concerns here are that this really has nothing to do with an AUMF against Iran. It is misguided.
No, bitch. You're misguided. You're misguided, and the warmongers are misguided, and our foreign policy over the last 20 years has been misguided.
What's really concerning is that it's unclear in terms of our ability to defend Israel. There's no carve out for allies.
And there they go again with the language. The language is unclear. It's unclear. It's confusing. It gives the impression to Israel and Saudi Arabia. It gives the impression that we don't have their bags and all this bullshit. We're not their, we're not the policemen of the world. We're not their daddy. They're not our daddy.
What do we do if Israel comes under attack from Iran, Iran proxies, the Iranian threat network? What do we do in defense of a ship or vessel in the Straits of Hormuz if an ally comes under attack?
What do we do if there's an attack? Well, we look at that attack, see the evidence, and get congressional approval and respond appropriately.
What do we do in terms of 7th Fleet right now is interdicting and conducting interdiction efforts in the Indo-Pacific to thwart Iranian sanction evasion, Syria, Yemen, Bahrain.
What do you mean, what if there's an attack? All this what if this happens? We can do that all day. What if, you know, aliens come down and invade California tomorrow? What if Florida falls into the sea and Atlantis pops up the next day? What if Russian warlords come over on flying unicorns with swords on their shoulder blades? Well, I mean, what are you talking about, bro? What if? We can do this all day.
I mean, we can go on and on in terms of proxies, threat networks,
and a number of incredibly complicated and difficult Iranian activities. And essentially what we're doing is we're taking options off the table.
Oh, this is gonna take something off the table for our military, and this is gonna make America less safe. Did you know it takes options off the table to take a totally unlawful, illegal piece of legislation and do right by America and repeal that illegal legislation? That actually takes options off the table. Yeah, that sounds like an argument from a warmonger.
This is aimed at the administration. I think it takes options off the table right when, exactly when the policy is working and exactly when the United States needs to look united abroad and not divided.
It does nothing. It takes no power away from the war power resolutions. So whether under existing law or under this provision being signed into law, the president could immediately respond to such an attack by using the U.S. military to defend Israel and then report to Congress within 48 hours under the war powers resolution. And in that situation, it's hard to imagine we wouldn't do that. So there are numerous provisions in existing law, including section 201 of PL 110-409, that guarantees the U.S. will ensure that Israel has a qualitative military edge to counter adversarial forces. None of this does anything to diminish that. But it does, to your point, take options off the table. You're right about that. It takes options off the table, but the only options it takes off the table are the unconstitutional ones.
Accurate.
That's the whole point of this amendment.
We can argue the rest of the evening probably on the constitutionality and how this overlays with the War Powers Act, but my concern is the signal this is sending, both to our enemies and our allies. We can argue the rest of the evening probably on the constitutionality and how this overlays with the War Powers Act, but my concern is the signal this is sending both to our enemies and our allies.
By Molten Design.
At a critical point, at a critical point in terms of the pressure campaign. You may disagree with the administration's policy, but I don't think it is appropriate or responsible to tie their hands when the adversary has a history of acting through proxies and has a history of acting against allies and interests, not directly against the United States.
We're only tying their hands to the United States Constitution.
Seth, I'm sorry, you don't have the time.
Not directly.
This guy's a chicken hawk,
bitch. We're only tying their hands to the United States Constitution.
Seth, I'm sorry.
Surprising that so many people are so negative and vicious towards the Constitution. Didn't they swear when they were sworn into office to protect and uphold the Constitution?
We don't feel that the AUMF, the 2001 AUMF, or the 2002 AUMF, should be used as an excuse to take action against Iran. That is the purpose of this amendment. Something, and the administration was given many opportunities to say they wouldn't do that. They didn't say it. This is not the only administration. I mean, we've been through three administrations now that have taken that AUMF from 2001 and twisted it beyond all recognition.
Again, that's a good point that people need to internalize. Three administrations have twisted the AUMF beyond all recognition. That includes Barack Obama. Get over your partisan, you know, dick riding and focus on the fact that all of these guys have acted against the Constitution in this manner. That's not a scandal. That's a scandal.
There's just so many things that are wrong with this. The worst part of this is just the legislative malpractice of the fact that this is just horrible language.
The legislative malpractice, this is just horrible language. I mean, it's just written terribly, just preposterous that it's just written so badly that, I mean, this takes things off the table.
Mr. Moulton's statement said, well, of course it gives them authority under the War Powers Act. No, it doesn't say that. It actually says no funds, and it doesn't say except for otherwise. It doesn't say NATO. It doesn't say, you know, under Article 5 of NATO, if Iran should attack one of our NATO allies, that it's okay that it doesn't apply here. It says no funds. I mean, it doesn't have any other exception clauses, except we've declared war, we specifically enact statutory actions, or an attack has happened on the United States, not our allies. If they attacked Iran, this is not clear. I mean, it is not clear that it just, yes, of course they could go, the president would be able to protect Iran, Israel, if Iran was attacking them. There was no statement by anybody from the administration that they have current authority to go into Iran. No one from the administration has ever said that.
You should key in and look how aggressive this guy from Dayton is getting by adamantly trying to get people to believe that never has the administration ever pressed upon Congress that they are looking for war with Iran. Never, never has this happened. This has never happened. Never has anybody said that. The fact that he's getting so hyped and aggressive about it should tell you that they did exactly that.
Now, if you don't want them to use the AUMF for 2001, say that. Don't say this.
Ugh.
This is like the worst language on something that could not be so incredibly, I mean, that is so incredibly important. I can't imagine doing this. Especially when you consider our allies in this neighborhood and our interests in that neighborhood and what we try to do to help and support our allies in the area, that you would just so blanketly,
that's a nice phrase, because all the AUMF is a blank check for endless war that doesn't have to be approved by the elected officials that we elected to approve if we were ever to go to war. So the term blanket is interesting that you'd use that, sir.
Try to restrict. You know, again, there is so much in this bill that is just, you know, I've never thought I would ever say thank God for the Senate, but thank God for the Senate, because there is so much in this bill that is just so horrifically written that is never going to become law. And thank God this is going to be one of them.
This is like the worst language. I couldn't imagine doing this. Thank God for the Congress. Thank God for the Senate. I am ashamed that this dude is from Ohio.
So my question is, if there was language that simply said it's the sense of Congress that the 2001 AUMF does not authorize force against Iran, would that satisfy the gentleman's drafting concerns? Go back.
Yes, sir. Say that again, I didn't hear you.
Of course it won't. And then you ask him to repeat it. He just followed up your statement with a statement back to you, and you're asking him to repeat it? You weren't even listening.
So I was listening carefully to your argument, and would it satisfy your concerns if within the NDAA we said it was the sense of Congress that the 2001 AUMF does not authorize hostility to Iran?
Well, I think it would satisfy what they said was their intent. At least you'd have something that was written in English comparable to what they're espousing as their intent.
So would you vote for that?
I mean, I'm not voting for that.
I think it would satisfy what they said was their intent. At least you'd have something that was written in English comparable to what...
So would you vote for that?
I mean, I'm not voting for that.
But again, there's no one from the administration that said they would do that. So this is outrageous steps to be taken for something that has never been said.
No. What's outrageous is the fact that we've had bills like the Patriot Act consistently shoved down our throats, that we've had this AUMF piece of legislation on the books for, what, 18 years now? And it's led to countless military conflicts that were never voted on or approved by Congress. That's outrageous. That's the outrageous stuff. It's outrageous that you think it's outrageous to rescind this illegal legislation.
I recall a briefing in the CVC where information was shared that is not consistent with what you're saying to us regarding the connections between the 2001 AUMF and Iran.
Here we go.
I know we can't get too precisely into that and who said it, but the notion that the administration has never maintained that there are elements of the 2001 AUMF that would authorize their hostilities toward Iran is not consistent with my understanding of what they said to us.
Well, Mr. Gates, I can assure you that no one stood in front of you and said that the 2001 AUMF on behalf of this administration provided them sufficient authority to go into Iran. What they said was that they would comply with all laws, both publicly and privately. It's the same statement.
So say the language before us was not what I had recommended. I would hope that what I had recommended would deal with some of the concerns that have been expressed here. But I would like to see this go forward. Undoubtedly, on the floor, there will need to be clarity on this matter.
This absolutely needs to go forward, and there absolutely needs to be a move to have clarity, to talk this out in a public setting, on the floor, run by C-SPAN, so the American public can be a part of this process. This absolutely must be addressed.
And I would urge all of us, Democrat, Republican, conservative, whatever, to work together to make it clear that ambiguity that exists today could create a war that we have not authorized. It may or may not pass, I don't know. I'm going to wind up voting for it, even though I think there are flaws in it, as written. I would like to see this on the floor. We have for more than a decade asked for a debate on the use of force. Afghan 1 and Iraq 2 AUMFs have been discussed repeatedly but have never been really debated on the floor.
The fact that these things have never been debated on the floor is an absolute travesty. I mean, that's embarrassing.
The senior general officers responsible for operations on the Joint Staff and at CENTCOM were asked to look at this language and say what difference it would make to them. Their view is that if enacted, this language would limit the inherent right of self-defense at a time when we have specific, detailed, and credible threats against the 65,000 military personnel in the CENTCOM AOR. It would immediately stop purely defensive intel sharing.
I mean, this dude is literally reading off his cell phone from like an email that he got from like his defense contractor butt buddy or something.
Air defense and border security, we are doing with partners in the region. It would stop active information-related capabilities directly countering Iranian threat networks that members have more sensitive details about from CT and cyber classified quarterly briefings.
That members have more sensitive
you are carrying water for defense contractors, sir.
I just think we need to be careful about what we do.
Can I actually just pose a question to Mr. Thornberry then? If the language was changed to a simple one sentence along with what Representative Gates was suggesting, that nothing in the 2001 AUMF authorizes war against Iran, a simple sentence in respect to the Constitution, would you support something like that?
It's generally will yield. I would certainly consider.
I would certainly consider. The reason I hesitate.
They can't support a simple sentence.
The reason I hesitate is because and we have not updated the 2001 AUMF, and therefore it has been used through the court, expanded through the courts, yeah, to include ISIS and a variety of terrorist actors. Yeah. I can't go into the detail, but Iran could be involved with some of those terrorist actors. But I'm talking about the terrorists, not the state of Iran.
I would be in support of saying something as simple and as elegant as that. And I don't know how to do it procedurally, but I think that is...
Now listen to what Slotkin says here.
It's a simple way to do it. It doesn't complicate things. I do think this is a messy resolution, but still on net a positive thing to do. I would say to Mr. Turner, to be intellectually honest and without going into classified details, in alignment with what Representative Gates said, we were absolutely presented with a full formal presentation on how the 2001 AUMF might authorize war on Iran. Yes, I'm sorry, sir. Secretary Pompeo said it with his own words. I'm sorry, sir.
Oh,
Secretary Pompeo
damn.
Said it with his own words. He did not say, I want to go to Iran and I'm going to use 2001. He referenced, I don't want to go into the details, he referenced a relationship between Iran and Al-Qaeda. And I will tell you that it goes to the heart. Yes, sir, just let me finish. I'd like to be the one woman recognized in this conversation. There is, to me, once he opened that door, he asked for an answer. And to me, the one sentence that I understand maybe people still don't feel like, you know, if it's a messaging thing that people are concerned about, maybe they can vote for nothing. But that to me seems the minimalist way that we can still preserve the constitutional rights of this body to authorize military force.
She just put him on blast right there. We aren't aware of that. Americans aren't aware of that. This is the first video evidence I've even seen on YouTube where this comment is even visually shown on a screen anywhere outside of C-SPAN.com. It's not being shown on any mainstream media channel. It's not even being shown on alternative media on the internet. This clip is like extinct for all intents and purposes. Here's the clip. Please take the clip, re-upload it, because what she's saying is that Mike Pompeo came to Congress and told them that they have the authority, the framework, legally, to attack Iran if they choose to. This should be national news, worldwide news. And yet nobody's covering it. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, nobody internationally is covering this. This is a disgrace.
I would say to Mr. Turner, to be intellectually honest, and without going into classified details, in alignment with what Representative Gates said, we were absolutely presented with a full formal presentation on how the 2001 AUMF might authorize war on Iran. Yes, I'm sorry, sir. Secretary Pompeo said it with his own words. He did not say, I want to go to Iran and I'm going to use 2001. I don't want to go into the details. He referenced a relationship between Iran and Al-Qaeda. And I will tell you that it goes to the heart. Yes, sir. Just let me finish.
I'd like to
be the one woman recognized in this conversation. There is, to me, once he opened that door, he asked for an answer. And to me, the one sentence that I understand maybe people still don't feel like, you know, if it's a messaging thing that people are concerned about, maybe they can vote for nothing. But that to me seems the minimalist way that we can still preserve the constitutional rights of this body to authorize military force.
I appreciate that you have clarified your concern about your perception of what the Secretary of State has said. I understand your extrapolation from that statement to this concern. It was not a nexus that was expressly stated But I understand your extrapolation and your concern from there. So thank you for giving that.
I appreciate you've clarified your concern about your perception of how you perceive what the secretary said when you perceived it. Your perception is incorrect, but I appreciate your perception. What the hell, dude? You're so condescending. I understand your extrapolation. You just misperceived. You just misunderstood. This dude is so pissed because she's talking about something that, how dare you not keep that secret? That's for our eyes and ears only.
My issue and concern is, and because I've been here and I was incredibly opposed to our action in Libya. I think the unbelievable toll of civilians has been incredible. The warmongering that occurred there was no nexus to the AUMF of 2001, and yet we went in and did full-on regime change.
See, this is two-party politics at its finest. This Mike Turner guy from Ohio is a straight-up chicken hawk Republican who goes out of his way to verbalize his concern, his incredible concern for what happened in Libya. Why? Because that was done by Barack Obama in his administration, a Democrat administration. Barack Obama was the warmonger in that case, so he has no problem with calling Barack Obama a warmonger, but he won't refer to George Bush as a warmonger, Dick Cheney, and he won't refer to the current administration as warmongering. Trump or Pompeo and Bolton, they're not warmongers, but Barack Obama is a warmonger. In reality, they're all warmongers. But this Republican chicken hawk can only talk about Libya as a horror show. And it was. But he can make these same points for Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria, now Iran, Venezuela. Don't let me forget Yemen, but he doesn't. He only makes the point for Libya. This is a partisan hack.
Loretta Sanchez and I went all the way to try to get clarity as to force Congress to be able to have a voice, which I think could have stopped it. My concern is that we're because people are trying to be protective of what might happen, that we're making mistakes of what we could be doing wrong.
Hold on. Protective of what might happen? Isn't that your entire argument as to why we need to keep the AUMF? Isn't that everybody, all these chicken hawks' entire argument? They're being protective of what might happen? What might happen? Your entire worldview of prison planet, of military policemanship, of warmongering, savagery across the world, is all born out of what may happen. What are you talking about?
And I just am very concerned about this neighborhood.
To me, there is no ambiguity in this language. It prevents the United States of America from defending our allies should there be an attack by Iran on Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Israel, Jordan, whomever. If we get intelligence that Iran is about to attack one of its neighbors in the Middle East, an ally of ours, this language prohibits the United States from preventing that kind of attack, from interceding and saving the lives that otherwise would be lost.
What we have in front of us right now is an amendment that senior general officers responsible for operations at the Joint Staff and CENTCOM say would actually make America less safe and would prevent us from protecting our allies like Israel. And that's where I draw the line. That's where I say enough is enough.
That's where I draw the line. That's where I say enough is enough. Enough is enough. Okay, tough guy. Tough guy. Talk to your allies in the committee who've actually served in the wars that you're talking about. They're all for this, making it specific instead of broad as fuck. This guy needs to grandstand and say, oh, this is where I draw the line because, like, I'm so morally superior in my position. We are the all and everything of this world. We are the pure. Get lost, man.
We spent 17 hours debating ways to support our military.
Support our military? Our military doesn't want to be over there, man. They don't want to be over there. They don't want to be over there fighting all these wars. They don't want to go to Iran and fight a war. Our military doesn't want to do that. You want to support our military? Get them health care. Get them off the streets, you son of a bitch. Don't send them to another war. At what point is somebody gonna stand up and put these fucking clowns in their place? These grandstanders are sending people off to numerous wars, numerous deployments, sending them away from their family to get killed, to come back with hellacious PTSD, to face suicide. There's like 20 some odd military members committing suicide every day. And this guy wants to talk about he's standing up for the military. Get the fuck out of here. You're a clown. You're lying.
Protect America, keep America safe and secure. And right now we have an amendment in front of us that senior military leadership, not political appointees, but senior military leadership tell us would make America less safe.
The resolution allows the president the authority under the War Powers Act. Section 8 of the War Powers Act allows the president of the United States to take immediate action if there is a threat or an imminent threat to our troops or any treaty ally. That means under the current law, if we didn't do anything under the War Powers Resolution, this president, if Israel was attacked tomorrow, could take action, doesn't need the authorization of Congress, and doesn't have to come to Congress till 60 days. Nothing any of us can do changes that president's authority to do that, either if our troops are attacked or if Israel is attacked under the current law, unless we repeal the War Powers Resolution that was passed in 1973.
Again, Ro Khanna has to come in and try to rein these children in and remind them of what actually still exists in the legislative body, the powers that still remain, the draconian powers that are still in play here, guys.
What I'm trying to say is I would ask you, this is one of those things that if it were in the bill could change the actual vote on this. If it would given time to work out something that could be taken to the floor, I think you have enough people talking here that you could talk about how to actually implement this, how it would impact our allies, specifically NATO and Article 5.
And then alas, is the guy that comes in and says, this is a great idea, but this is the wrong time and place for it. How about we take this out of the bill so we can move forward with this ridiculous $1 trillion spending bill that's based around military spending. We can move forward with this and let's debate this at another time. This is a separate debate that deserves attention, so we should give it all the attention that it deserves. But let's take it out of this bill so we can move forward with this bill. You knew a guy like this was gonna pop up and, you know, try to get us to done here by skipping over the most important part.
In addition to which, put some timelines in here. How far back in history does some event have to take place in which
you could trigger? Would the gentleman yield?
So I'm begging you to think that if we were to back off on this at this point and give some time to work on it, your assurances to everyone else that we will bring something to the floor, that would be a solution, because I don't think everyone is that far away from a potential solution.
I remember a dozen years ago now when we tried to update the AUMF in 2001. And that is not an easy thing to do. When you start getting into the language here, it is incredibly complicated and very difficult, and everybody is going to interpret it in 1,000 different ways.
Language interpretation is a tactic politically to kill this move to take the power back, to take congressional declaration power back. We have children running the government. I would say only 5%, I would say 10% of the Congress has some principles. 5% incredibly consistent principles at its low. We don't have faith in this process here. We don't have faith that this is actually going to come to the floor in a future event.
And I will tell you, and I want to make clear in this NDAA, that you have to follow the law and follow the Constitution before you go to war with Iran. I absolutely want to do that, and we absolutely will do that.
You're going
to
watch Ro Khanna get beaten down and get convinced to table this. And he's going to, out of respect for his party leadership, and in my opinion, that's a mistake.
It was my initial preference to do that on the floor. This amendment was worked out by a bunch of people. I am troubled by this amendment. Now, I can walk through it and I can reach Mr. Khanna's conclusion, as we just did. I can walk through it and reach other conclusions. I would prefer if we took this up on the floor so that we could get the language the way that we wanted it to. That, however, is up to Mr. Khanna.
I would prefer if we would skip over this so we can get through our spending bill and get it through, so we can fund the government, because if we don't fund the government, then all our military is gonna die, and the world's gonna be set on fire because we're no longer policing it. So I would prefer if Mr. Khanna could table this. Mr. Khanna, do you understand what I'm saying? We will bring this back up on the floor at a more appropriate time, and we will have a robust discussion about it. But this is just not the proper time. I really hope that you understand, but I am very genuine about this. Trust that I'm being sincere.
I think it would be good for this committee if we could withdraw this amendment and work on this on the floor, given how complicated and difficult the issue is for constitutional lawyers, let alone all of us who are trying to understand it.
It is complicated and difficult, and that's your fault, Congress, and you need to fix it. But you need to start the process, man. That's what this is. It's an attempt to start, and you're kicking a can down the road again in the same week that we could potentially be starting a war with Iran, and on the back of Mr. Pompeo coming to Congress and addressing different members behind closed doors, saying that they have the legal right and framework to attack Iran if they want to, using the AUMF. This is a problem now.
I fundamentally believe that this language, as Representative Brown and Representative Moulton and I and many constitutional lawyers have drafted, addresses all the concerns that other people have raised. I just want to make that clear. There is nothing that limits the president from engaging in actions to defend our troops or imminent threats or any of our allies or Israel. You will understand the skepticism of people who have been trying to stop bad wars when people who have supported a lot of those wars are suddenly picking at the language and saying, let's wait, let's do other things.
You're damn right.
Now, I am taking in good faith the suggestions of Representative Bishop and Representative Gates. I mean, Representative Gates and I don't agree on many things, but he's been very principled on a lot of non-intervention issues. And other members on the other side, and Representative Moulton and Representative Brown and I talked, and we would like to see a genuine, if we can get a bipartisan effort, we would prefer that.
And my commitment to you is, if we can get a bipartisan effort, that's great. But my commitment is, even if we can't get a bipartisan effort, we will have a vote on the floor on this issue. We will have a vote on the floor on this issue. And the
we'll
last
see about
this
that.
Is what I went through with on the AUMF.
I hope he's not on the show,
to one group of people that say, okay, well, this is clearly what it means.
Here's Congress again, kicking the can down the road.
And the language problem, this is what I went through with on the AUMF. I'd write it up, I'd show it to one group of people that say, okay, well, this is clearly what it means. I'd show it to another group of people, just as knowledgeable, and they would say the exact opposite, looking at the exact same language. So there are a lot of complications to work through here, and the simpler is the better. I think we've covered this. If the gentleman would withdraw, he has my absolute commitment that I want language in this bill that makes clear that there will not be an unconstitutional war in Iran, and we will be committed to doing that on the floor. This language, I don't think at the moment, is going to get us there. So if you would withdraw, we will continue to have that discussion and make sure that it's ready for the floor. You have my commitment on that.
Out of respect for your leadership, I will withdraw the amendment.
Thank you. I appreciate that. With that amendment withdrawn, where are we at here?
America, you saw the video. You saw the politicians bring out into the light that the Trump administration is touting behind closed doors that they have the authority to attack Iran and how they're going to do it, how they're going to justify it. With the authorization for use of military force from 2001 that was given to President Bush to go to war in Afghanistan, he's going to use that potentially. We're seeing it. We're seeing it play out right now.